It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
This is a study about the tribulation period we read of in the Bible. My perspective of the tribulation is based upon the Word of God. If you hear me reading from the Bible a certain passage, and that passage doesn't match what your Bible says, then you are not using the Bible I use. I use the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. Each subject and lesson I teach is based upon the Word of God. As we study, we find that the tribulation period will be a time of deception and despair. We will also find that within the pages of the Bible that during the 7 years of tribulation, God is still willing to receive those who are willing to receive the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as Savior. May the Lord guide and direct us as we look into His Word. Join with me now as we study Lesson 12 of the Tribulation.
In our study of the Great Tribulation, and let me remind you, if you would, to have your Bible open to the book of Revelation. We're going to start reading in chapter 9. But in our study, the last time we looked at four trumpets, and we looked at actually the fifth trumpet as well. And it says in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 of Revelation, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." Well, this is the fifth trumpet sounding, and we see here that the air and oxygen of the oxygen of the air and light are affected by the underworld. Now, the star has a key and opens the bottomless pit. And we might ask, well, who does this angel represent? Another question might be this: who has the keys of death and of hell? And I believe when we answer the second question, we will know the answer to the first. In other words, who has the keys of death and of hell? Revelation 1:18 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Well, who is he of Revelation 1:18? Chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11 of Revelation says, "I was in the Spirit," and this is John speaking, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus and Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." Verse 17 of Revelation 1, "And when I saw him," John said, "I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Once again, Revelation 1:18 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." By comparing Scripture with Scripture, there is no doubt in my mind, and there is no doubt if you study the Word of God, as to who has the power and authority to open the bottomless pit. And it is Jesus Christ. So we read in verses 1 and 2 of Revelation that Jesus Christ opens a bottomless pit and he unleashes the underworld. And as we continue reading in chapter 9, verses 3 through 6, it says, "And there came out of the smoke," this is after the bottomless pit is open, "there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Now, this is something that we need to consider here, because the demonic torment is loosed upon the earth in verses 3 through 6 of Revelation 9. And although they want to die because of the extreme torment, death will not come to those who refuse the seal of God. Now, Joel describes those who want to die but can't in Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 8. Verse 1 of Joel 2 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." And the day of the Lord is the judgment of God coming upon this world in the tribulation period. Verse 8 of Joel 2 says, "Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded." In other words, they're not going to be able to die. They're not going to die. They'll seek death, but they can't die. They'll be tormented so greatly that they'll want to, but they cannot die. Now in Revelation 9, 7 through 11, it says, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." Now the word Abaddon or Apollyon means the destroyer. It means destruction. Now keep in mind, this is not the same one who opened the bottomless pit, but it says there that he was the king over them. He was over these demonic beings coming out of the pit, the demonic locusts, and they're described there in Revelation chapter 9, verse 7 through 11. Well, in Revelation 9 and verse 12, it says, "One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Now, here's the announcement of the two more woes, Revelation 9, 13 through 15. "And the angel, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Well, this is the sixth trumpet. Four angels of death are loosed according to these verses. Now, verses 16 through 19 of Revelation 9. "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, with them they do hurt." Well, there's an army now of 200 million, and their horses kill a third, and with their horses they kill a third part of mankind. And someone says, well, that's an outrageous number, that could never be. Well, you need to look at the population in the Far East and throughout Europe and places like that, that's going to come against the Lord and at the end of the tribulation period. And you're going to find out that this is very possible. It's not something that is imaginary. This is real. This is what the Bible says, 200 million. Now in Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works." Now this is after the sixth trumpet, they did not repent of the works of their hands. "That they should not worship devils," they weren't supposed to worship devils, "and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." There's no change. After reading the verses here in verse 20 and 21, we see that the survivors of six trumpets are unrepentant. They are still shaking their fist in the face of God. Well, now we look at the seventh trumpet. Now God is tightening up. He's giving man an opportunity to repent, but they are, up to this point, they have not repented. Revelation 11:15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Well, here there's a very large number of voices, and they're heard coming out of heaven. There will be no end to Christ's reign. Well, when this seventh trumpet sounds, John hears great voices in heaven announcing that the kingdoms have become the kingdoms of Christ, and that henceforth he shall reign forever and ever. In contrast to previous instances where a single voice makes the announcement, here there is a great symphony of voices chanting the triumph of Christ. And the fact that earthly rule will pass into the hands of God is frequently mentioned in the Old Testament prophecy of Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zechariah. Well, the question that remains is, how can the kingdoms of the world become, at this point, the kingdoms of Christ, when, as a matter of fact, the seven vials are still to be poured out? And that's what we're studying next, the seven vials. Well, the answer is, just as the seven trumpets come from the seventh seal, so the seven vials come from the seventh trumpet. The process of destruction of earthly power is therefore already underway. And, you know, it needs to be understood that presented as fact is that Christ is declared to reign forever and ever. This is not simply announcing his kingdom over the earth during his millennial reign, but that his reign will continue in the new heaven and the new earth. And never again will the earth be under the control and under the lordship of man. And even the brief rebellion recorded in Revelation 20 at the close of the millennium, well, it's unsuccessful. And before the details of the judgment to follow are unfolded in the seven vials in chapter 16 of Revelation, the divine revelation turns to other important aspects which relate to this period and which chronologically precede the consummation or the end. And apart from the outpourings of the vials, which occur in rapid succession, there is little chronological movement from this point until chapter 19 and the second coming of Christ. In other words, he's coming. Events and situations are now introduced which are concurrent with the seals and the trumpets. These serve to emphasize the dramatic climax of this period in the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming. Are you ready for him? The Bible tells us that we're to look for his coming as saved people. In the book of Acts, when the Lord Jesus was being taken up to go back to the Father, the men, and there were women there, I'm sure, these men were standing there and they were gazing up into heaven as Jesus went back and was going up in the air. And two angels stood by, these two men in white, stood by and said, "You men, why are you standing here gazing up into the air? You need to get busy and start working for the Lord, because this same Lord which is taken up from you," now I'm paraphrasing, of course, "this same Lord which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner." In other words, we're going to see him again. And this is for the saved people. We're going to see him in the air because he's going to tell us, "Come up hither." And as he says that, we who are saved are going to be with the Lord. And it's called the rapture of the church. We're going to be with him forever. And we're going to take part in the grandest and greatest supper that ever took place. And that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This we will be the Lamb's bride. May the Lord bless you richly and stay true to the Lord, saved person. Let God lead you and guide you in everything you do. An unsaved person, get saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.